Welcome to Alive and Active Life, broadcasting encouragement to live your daily life with God's help and inspiration to reach for more of God by faith. Join Brenda Wolf for today's practical insights.
If you are reading this at the beginning of your day, or perhaps listening at the beginning of your day, you have no idea how today will look. If it's at the end of your day, you might be pleased, or rather disappointed, depending on how things went. So often, life does not meet people's expectations. Many times, you must make allowances and adjustments, especially if things don't go well. Well, you know, there's so many different kinds of people. When I look around, I see these different kinds of people running in every direction. Some look breathless, frazzled, short on energy, and ready to drop. I also notice some who seem to be in a trance, not all there. Then there's the fellow who struts along aimlessly and just doesn't care anymore. He thinks life is a ripoff. Every once in a while, I see a person that stands out. They are purposeful. They have a plan and are working it. They're focused. Interestingly, they leak a pleasant demeanor, and they have a peaceful expression and smile. Also, they're kind and not frenzied, respectful and not abusive. Plus, they have priorities in order, and they sidestep distractions and insults. Further, they take a short rest when needed, and they also seem thoughtful and well thought. These rare people run a good race each day, even when things don't go well. Incidentally, the fact, when things don't go well, seemingly becomes a recurring piece of daily life. What are some things that don't go well? Here's a list, and I know there are many more, but let's at least go through this list. Okay, so the weather doesn't cooperate with special plans. Embarrassingly, you burn dinner. Unfortunately, you run out of a grocery item and you just got back from the store. You face unexpected financial expenditures from a crisis. Frankly, just a flat tire or a failed engine means no transportation for a couple of days. Tragically, a terrible storm sweeps through and decimates your property and neighborhood. Disappointingly, the tests come back and show cancer or some other health condition. Unthinkably, a dear friend or family member dies suddenly. Although you tried very hard, you run out of time and energy to meet a goal. And bitterly, a person that you thought you could trust betrays you. Those are some things that don't go very well, and I'm confident you could add more things to that list. However, it is time to turn thoughts to hope. Clearly, it's hard enough to respond admirably when things don't go well. However, when there's a pileup of things that don't go well, it takes an Olympic effort to push through and manage it all. Further, while all this is going on, other things are still true. Here's a list of those things. First of all, life still has much good in it. Second, there are people who still need you to be you. Third, your life is filled with blessings, so start counting them. Fourth, God loves you and has a purpose for your life. And fifth, God gives you hope. He is the source of hope. Before looking at 8 progress points, remember this: life is training. Just as athletes train, you should train for your life race. Actually, it matters what you do each day. Plus, it matters how you do it. In other words, be informed and have healthy purpose. Essentially, live each day as God intended. Incidentally, this includes both strategies and rest. Life is training to be the person God designed. Frankly, connecting with His plan helps you accomplish what He has in mind for your time on earth. Remarkably, that is always something very good. To train well takes deliberate alertness and focus. Further, you need well-thought strategies. And incidentally, your time, energy, resources, and priorities matter. Sometimes you need to change some things for successful results. But let's get beyond the elementary skills when things don't go well. In every area of learning, there are elementary skills and trainings. For example, for the athlete, running laps and toning exercises. For the mathematician, remembering basic math facts. For the medical professional, blood pressure and heartbeat. For the homemaker, cleaning sinks, preparing food, decorating, and staying in budget. For the business person, knowing principles of healthy corporations and how to build connections. Similarly, there are elementary skills and trainings for a Christian. Here's a good list. Repentance, forgiveness, faith in God, baptism, prayer, knowing and applying Scripture, and the promise of eternal life, and so on. There are more. Frankly, the person who never gets beyond those basic skills, though, remains at an elementary level. They are a beginner and not a seasoned veteran. Beginners need clear-cut, concrete, constructive basics. However, the veteran is practiced in basics of faith. Plus, they know maneuvers to navigate challenges of life successfully. So, now we're going to get to those progress points we talked about, and these progress points help you grow. How do you move from the basics to being seasoned? Well, these progress points escort you out of basics and into maturity. By progress points, I mean points that give you progress. The first one is decision. You must decide to move from basics to deeper skill levels. Plus, you decide to move into maturity by embracing progress points. Instead of talking, you start doing. It doesn't just happen. Decisions take work. So the first point is decision. The second point is commitment. Notice where you are and where you need to be. What gets you to the next level? Select principles and success keys, and then commit to them. In other words, practice them. Commitment takes work. The third is discipline. Truly, it takes discipline to keep carrying out a plan to meet your goals. Interestingly, discipline launches your life to the next level, becoming seasoned. Refuse discouragement when you fail. Stick to it. Discipline takes work. Okay, so we've had number one, decision, number two, commitment, three is discipline, and now four is desire. Interestingly, a relationship with Jesus includes desire, specifically things like energy and effort applied in daily responsibilities and activities. And yes, that does take a certain amount of desire. Or this one, getting into God's Word every day. Or how about this one, keeping relationships healthy. And then the final one, working at well-being. All of those take a certain amount of desire, and that doesn't necessarily mean feelings. Those kinds of pursuits all involve desire. Not that you actually want them necessarily, although that could be the case. Rather, you choose them because they are good. Eventually, they become a desire. Essentially, you nurture your desires to promote mature, balanced health. Desire is nurtured as it is practiced. Okay, now the fifth progress point to help you grow is prayer. Did you know when you listen and talk to Jesus, you grow healthier? Actually, the element of prayer is involved in every healthy endeavor. Prayer is the personal involvement of your walk with God. Additionally, prayer is pursuing God, seeking His interests, getting to know His great heart, and loving Him. That makes prayer a lot more practical and personal, doesn't it? Actually, prayer is being hungry and thirsty for Him. Check out Matthew 5, verse 6. Prayer takes work. The sixth point is Scripture. Incidentally, did you know the study of Scriptures provides the guidance you need in every situation? Of course, you may also need another person with experience. Nevertheless, the study of God's Word puts you in direct contact with God's promises, commands, and leadings. These things help Scripture land in your life. So here are five things you need to do with Scripture. Read it. Journal about what you read. Then meditate, ponder how it actually would look in your life. Memorize for immediate access and creatively set out a possible path. So those five steps again that let Scripture really land in your life so you can become a seasoned person, a mature person in your faith are these. 1. Read it. 2. Journal about what you read. 3. Meditate. Ponder what that looks like in your life. 4. Memorize for immediate access, no matter where you are or what the scenario is that you're in. And 5. Creatively set out a possible next path. Okay, so let's just remember that studying Scripture also takes work. Okay, we have two more so far. We have 1, decision. 2, commitment. 3, discipline. 4, desire. 5, prayer. 6, Scripture. And 2 more. 7 is faith. Simply put, choose to believe God's Word. He's doing amazing work in unseen dimensions of your life. Trust Him and persevere in faith. The more you practice faith in God, the more you resemble Jesus. Did you know it's impossible to please God without faith? Check out Hebrews 11, verse 6. Conclusively, intimacy with Jesus rests on your faith in Him. Faith takes work. And the eighth point is obedience. Truly, it is an understatement that all these progress points can happen without obedience. Yes, obedience proves you love God. Plus, it shows you honor Him. Further, resolve to obey even challenging commands in the hardest situations proves that you mean business in your relationship with Jesus. Obedience also takes work. All of those progress points take work. Once you follow these eight progress points, it only makes sense to look at your priorities, and that's what we're going to do right now. So, figuring out your priorities requires thought, and that also involves your heart. First, start by prayerfully identifying investments of your time, energy, and resources. Next, list what you normally carry out. After that, decide how to strategically pursue what matters. What pleases God? Plus, don't bite off more than you can accomplish. And then finally, make sure your life priorities match God's. They should seamlessly agree with Scripture. So again, looking at those priorities, you need to look at your heart and then start doing these next five things. First of all, prayerfully identify how you're using your time, energy, and resources. And then list what you normally carry out. Then, after that, decide how to strategically pursue what really matters, what pleases God. Then after that, 4, don't bite off more than you can accomplish. And then the fifth one is make sure your life priorities match God, which means that what you think, say, and do is going to seamlessly agree with Scripture. Now we have our application thoughts and questions. So let's go through this list. We have about 8 points here for you. First of all, think about times in your life when things didn't go well. What kinds of thoughts and feelings did you have? The second question, do you see life as a training ground? Third, have you been using progress points? Number four, what are the 8 progress points that really seem to help you? Let's go through those again, and you can pick and choose. Which ones help you the most? Don't forget, you should do them all, but it's nice to know which ones kind of work well for you. Number one, decisions. Number two, commitment. 3, discipline. 4, desire. 5, prayer. 6 is Scripture. 7 is faith. And 8 is obedience. Okay, now we're going to go back into our main points, our main questions. And question number 5 is, which of those progress points are most challenging for you? So we looked at which ones help you the most, and now which ones are hardest for you to carry out. Number 6, what priorities do you have? Do you need to change any of them to match God's and to agree with Scripture? Number 7, what are you doing to be the person God designed? And number 8, why not go after God's agenda? And you can do that by doing the following things. Train hard every day. Rest regularly. That's important. Even God rested on the 7th day. Evaluate the progress points we just went through in this content. Enjoy God's love and His blessings. And then finally, and most important, say thank you often to God. Portions of this content come from my book, Epistles for an I Generation, Relevant in a Digital Age. This devotional book takes you through 1 and 2 Corinthians. But also, we had portions from my book, Shadows of Things to Come, a study in Hebrews. In both books, you will find practical action points that help you know God better and nurture personal growth. You can find both these books in our bookstore, www.aliveandactivelife.org/store. I invite you to follow us on your favorite social media. Do sign up on our email list to receive weekly articles. Plus, tune in to our weekly podcast using your preferred podcast app or use our online player at the top of each article. Visit our website for resources to get into God's Word and live an alive and active life.
You've been listening to Brenda Wolf with Alive and Active Life. Visit our website at www.aliveandactivelife.org, your web-based home for resources, including books and ebooks, libraries of articles, podcasts, and more, as you navigate life's challenges and issues. Sign up on our email list and subscribe to our podcast to stay current with the tools you need to be the person God designed, living an alive and active life.